SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, at the races, and after a fun toss with John Service and Johnny D, come back to celebrate another big win. And John Service only had one horse running in the Breeders' Cup, and that's all he had to worry about. Chuck Grubbs had more to worry about, and that was the 14 races and crafting a winning charge in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. And from what I can tell, Chuck, they must have been going crazy at Lebanon Raceway. Good morning.
That's true. That's where I cut my teeth. First horse that I ever raced, harness horse, was probably at Lebanon Raceway. So, yeah, they were probably happy down there.
When I put out the note that we were waiting for the official light for the audit, but that the assumption is that Chuck Grubbs is going to win, and one of my followers came back and said, "Oh my God, we used to bet together at Lebanon Raceway, small world." He was excited as could be for you, and you're from the Columbus area. You're down in Lexington these days. Basically, that's a pretty heady bunch of players at the Red Mile. A couple of suites down from Maloney.
Oh, yeah. A couple suites down from Mike. What a generous, nice gentleman. We've had several conversations, and I actually got his book, and very knowledgeable, very, very well liked in the community.
Absolutely. Talk about your own interests in the flat side of things, and how long you've been involved in, whether it's live money or if you go after NHC type seats as well, your plan of attack for the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge.
Well, I play in most all the big cash tournaments. I play in both of the tournaments at Keeneland, the one in the spring and the one in the fall that's run by Jim Goodman, a great guy,
sure.
Runs a great tournament. I go to Del Mar, Santa Anita. I fly out there. I'm actually, when I hang up with you, I'm going to book a ticket to Del Mar this weekend. I'm going to go out and play in Chris Barr's tournament. He runs a heck of a tournament out there, and I like to play. That's what I like to do. It's my passion.
You're a pro player, from what I understand.
Yes. I am a professional gambler. 95% of my bets are on harness racing, and 5% is on thoroughbreds. And the reason that is my whole family was brought up in the harness business. I have an active trainer's and owner's license in the harness business, and it's always been in my blood, and I'll never leave it. But I love the thoroughbred game because of all the money.
Well, and that in evidence certainly on this weekend. Talk a little bit about the way you approach things, and of course some new technical adjustments, assuring that everybody bet in nearly every race. What was your overall thoughts going in? What kind of opinions had you formulated?
First of all, the format changes was right up my alley. I'm all about making the players make more bets. I don't believe in letting them sit there and hold on to their money to bet all in one race. I didn't like that. I had a bad taste in my mouth last year. I finished in the top 15 last year at Del Mar, and then there was the rumblings of the collusion and all of that, and I don't know if there was or there wasn't. I know one gentleman was disqualified, but I like the fact that the Breeders' Cup was proactive, put a committee together, and we come up with a new rules and regulations, which was fair to everyone. The rules were fair to everyone, and my plan of attack was to be aggressive. If you want to win these tournaments, you got to be aggressive. You can't be passive. I started off, I bet the first race the first day. I took a bad beat in the first race. I took a bad beat in the third race on Friday. And I just looked around and thought, well, it's just one of those tournaments. I got beat out of a nice exacta in the third race on Friday with the longest shot on the board won. And my horse, the 10 horse or the outside horse, I can't remember, got nipped right at the wire. And the exacta was paying $600 and some, and I had it 25 times. So I was going to make a big move early on the first day, and it didn't work. And then, lo and behold, newspaper of record, who obviously looked good enough to eat on the form. And if you watch the replays like I watch replays, she looked so brilliant. And I landed on a European horse to hit the ticket with her, and I caught a $20 try in the sixth race on Friday that got me back about $11,000. So I was off and running, and then kind of held my own, ended up with 18-5 at the end of the first day. I think I was in 13th place, and I was happy. And I went home, and I studied till the wee hours of the morning, watched replays, and I came up with a horse that I liked on Saturday, and Accelerate. And it just was the perfect storm, Steve, because everyone was anti-John Sadler by the time that race come up. And it drove that horse's odds, I believe, instead of being 7-5 or 8-5, to 5-2. And I took advantage of it.
Before we get to the classic, a couple of thoughts and reactions. You know, you mentioned that you used East with newspaper of record. The try really got the boost, though, from Stellar Agent. How do you structure your ticket in that setting with a key horse in newspaper of record? Give everybody a structural approach snapshot, Chuck, if you would.
Okay, well, newspaper record, I believe, was, you know, the cat's meow. I just thought that she was probably on the two-day program. I just thought she was probably the most logical winner. So I just played a $20 try, her with East second and third, 6-14 all, 6-all 14. And if you remember, East nailed Stellar Agent 2-3 strides before the wire. If he doesn't, I'm looking at a $50,000-$60,000 score, because that try paid, I think, $1,100 or $1,200 with East second. I gotta believe it's paying $4,000 or $5,000, maybe $6,000 with the longest shot on the board second. I mean, maybe it wouldn't have, but the way the pulls were and the way the tries were paying, it was going to pay significantly more. So, yes, I was lucky. I hit. I got $11,000, but I could have hit for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 right there and really been in. Set up for a big weekend.
Well, as it was, a terrific bet. And, you know, that kind of dual opinion, you know, taking a horse that, you know, in a normal setting, East might have been a much shorter much shorter price. I mean, if newspaper record was just a solid favorite instead of an overwhelming favorite, and you really got a tremendous ride from Jamie Spencer to even get her, involved.
You're exactly right. If you go back and watch the replay, that guy, Jamie Spencer, he weaves through traffic, because obviously I'm watching him. I don't need to watch newspaper record. The cameraman's got her, you know. She's solidly in front, and I'm trying to get a horse who's 14th turning, going into the far turn, to pass 12 horses to get on the ticket, or 11 horses. And he did a wonderful job of saving ground, wonderful job of weaving through traffic. Got checked a little bit when they straightened out, but the little girl ducked her head, and she fought all the way to the wire, and she was definitely the second best horse in that race.
Take us through Saturday. We're talking to Chuck Grubbs, who's a professional player. He won the BCBC, and as the day was going, I mean, I was watching Ryan Muller, who really, that's a nice showing by Ryan. He ended up fourth, but, you know, it's hard when you're up on top of that leaderboard to maintain, you know, to maintain your number. It gets tricky.
Well, I don't know the gentleman. I think I met him at the end. He may have shook my hand. There were so many people that I talked to and congratulated. It was really very, very overwhelming. But he has a target on his back all day. Everybody knows what he's got. Everybody, including myself, is going to take a shot to get to him sooner or later. You're going to the guys that I know that play in this tournament, they're not there to finish seventh, eighth, or ninth. They want to win it. We all want to win it. The first prize is $300,000, so you got to take a shot. I come into the day with several small feelings, but nothing like newspaper or record. All right, I know Accelerate is the fastest horse, so I'm thinking if I can get to that race, that's where I'm going to take my shot. So I start the day off by making a $1,500 win bet on Dale Romans in the first race on Tis Mischief. He had some back numbers at Churchill as a two-year-old that just stood out, and he was hanging around 9-5, 8-5, 9-5. So I bet $1,500 to win. I was at 18-5 at the time, and he won, but he took a solid hit at the end. Somebody else thought the same thing I did, and he only paid $460. So that got me up a little over $20,000, maybe into ninth place. I'm all right. So I think I sit a race or two out, and
Philly and Mare Sprint. The Philly and Mare Sprint now, with Marley's Freedom as the favorite, is the third.
Oh, what a bad beat I took there. I mean, I won this tournament and took some terrible beats. I had a big win bet on Shalom. I bet Shalom to win. Then I come back and take Shalom with Marley's Freedom, Anonymity, Golden Mischief, Finley's Lucky Charm, and play her second and third in trifectas with all tickets. So they're coming down the stretch. Shalom's got the lead. I got the win bet on her. I'm rooting for her. I see Marley's Freedom on the far outside, and it just doesn't look like she's going to get there. And here comes two horses, Shamrock Rose and Anonymity. If she wins, Anonymity or Shalom wins, I got win money on Shalom. I got like an $8 try with Anonymity and Shalom with all, Anonymity with all with Shalom. And Shamrock Rose nails both at the wire.
Yes, she or does.
So I had several bad beats that I took, which every gambler has bad beats, but it seems like I had enough that just really could. I mean, that try paid $4,800. $4,800 for two with Shamrock Rose on top, and Anonymity is bigger odds than that. I would have had like, if it would have been her that won and I had an $8 try, I could have scored out with $20,000 there. But I didn't, and I moved on, and then it gets better. The bad beats get better. I make a big win bet on World of Trouble. I think World of Trouble is the speed of the speed. It looks like turning for home. Ortiz has put him away. He opens back up. And this Stormy Liberal, man, what a turn of foot he had. He ran me down, so I lost another photo. So right now I'm thinking, well, at least I got a little bit of money. I'll, got enough gas money to get home and everything. No big deal. And then comes up the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. I didn't bet. I had a small opinion on Friend's Fire, and he didn't fire, so I saved money there. And then the next race was the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. I think I made a small bet on I can't even remember. I didn't do that. I might have treaded water that race. And then I made a big bet on my favorite horse of all time. I bet in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, I bet Limousine Liberal to win, because in the last two Kentucky Derby betting challenges, I've made big win bets on him. He's won and paid $28 and like $11 or $12. So I've made so much money on this horse. He's my favorite horse. And he just didn't fire. He was just not as good as these horses. So I took a big step back, and I think I'm down to around $15,000. So a couple races go, I lose one, and then I did hit, I don't even know how to butcher the name, Monomoy Girl.
Monomoy Girl.
Monomoy. I thought she was the best horse. I thought she had drew the best. She would be out of trouble. And I thought Florent Giroux did an absolutely perfect job of putting her in the right spot. Right off the speed, I had a win bet on her. So that got me back up to around 16,000, I believe. And then the next race, I bet on Waldgeist, the Great Britain horse, didn't really fire. That was an amazing race, the two horses enable and magical. What a performance that was. So now I'm at exactly 15,000, and the last race comes up. And I just think that the fact that John Sadler, everybody was just anti-John Sadler at that point, that I thought Accelerate should be 7 or 5 or 8 to 5, and he opened up, he was 4 to 1. And I waited and I waited, and he just dropped and he dropped and he dropped one tick at a time the last 7 or 8 minutes. But all along going in, and I can thank a couple people for this, Andy Serling and the racing manager for Luch Racing, Blake Jesse. I said to Blake, I said, what do you think of Gunnavera? He says, I think he's got a good shot. Well, Andy Serling thought he had a good shot. I watched his show. And if you really, it's so easy to post race handicap, but Gunnavera shows up to every race. He don't win them, but I would think you would agree that he shows up every single time he steps on the track, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 2nd. I thought he was the most logical horse behind Accelerate to hit the board. I played a $40 try, 14 all four. And I bet $6,000 to win on Accelerate. And I took my $7,000 voucher that I had left, and I stuck it in my left pocket. And I said, here we go. I'm either going to win with Accelerate and go home with $20,000 or $30,000, or I'm going to go home with $7,000. Or if by some miracle Gunnavera sneaks on the ticket late, I got a shot of cashing in the top five. So the race goes off, Accelerate. I thought he was in a good spot the whole way, even though he was wide. It didn't bother me at all. And when the running started at the 3/8 pull, I could tell he had the inside horses put away. It was obvious to me. So I'm looking back through the field, because I also had 14 all 11, mind your biscuits. But I was really concerned if he could get the distance, and he obviously couldn't. But I saw Irad Ortiz weaving through traffic back there, and I know one thing. The horse is never going to stop running. And they get to the 8th pole, and I think to myself, oh, no, Gunnavera is going to run me down and cost me $100,000, which was really going to be $400,000. Well, Accelerate was wandering left, wandering right, but his class and Rosario carried him to the wire. Ortiz got second with Gunnavera. And that's another thing that I don't think people took into consideration. I'm not taking anything away from Edgar Zayas or anyone that's ever rode Gunnavera. But Irad Ortiz would fit that horse perfect, I thought, simply because he is a strong rider, and that horse needs coax the entire race. And he did. And they crossed the wire, and I didn't even know what to think. I didn't know I won the tournament. I had no idea what the try is going to pay. I had a buddy look up. I said, what's the exact of paying? He said, 266, I think. No, 261.60. I said, all right, well, the try should pay 1500. If it pays 2000, that's 40,000. I get 22 for the win, that's 62. And I got 7 in my pocket, that's 69. That gets me in the top 5. I'm high-fiving. I'm tickled to death. I'm thinking, yes, I cashed. I get a free ticket to the NHC. I'm in the BCC next year. But, you know, they're like, well, you might win. I'm like, I can't catch any guys on the front. So they make the race official, but before they put the prices up, it's like 3 minutes, Steve. And it's the longest 3 minutes of my life. Because I'm like, well, and they put the 50-cent price up. So I'm like, if they put up 600, I get, you know, that's 2,400. That's 48,000. And they hung up 806. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know if I want it. But I passed the guy in the lead, and usually there's some people that bet big, too. I said, I'm going to get a top three. So I called downstairs to Jim Goodman, and I said, Jim, I know it's unofficial. Can you tell me anything? He says, nope, can't tell you anything. Don't know anything yet. It's still unofficial. I get a call, and somebody says, hey, unofficially, you won. I said, no way. They said, absolutely, I'm looking at it. You're first. So And it was just unbelievable. What an unbelievable feeling. I wish every gambler in the world to go through what I went through for that 15 minutes from the time that Accelerate wouldn't load in the gate. I had no way of canceling my tickets. So now I'm stuck with a horse that won't even go in the gate. Is that a pretty good feeling, Steve? That's a pretty funny one that's going to gate. I'll tell you a funny story. There, the turf race or another race, the favorite wouldn't go in the gate. I can't remember who it was.
Enable. And Enable didn't want to at first go in.
They took, someone canceled $25,000 worth of show tickets on Enable. It was probably, you know, I saw her wouldn't go in the gate. Luckily, I couldn't cancel. I didn't have the access to cancel them, but man, oh man, what, it was such a great race. And, you know, I won. I'm so happy for a guy like John Sadler. I mean, here's a guy that people just beat up. I mean, the media has beat up the last week. And yep. I'm so happy that that guy won. I'm so happy that I won. But it wasn't hard for me to bet on Accelerate. I was betting on the best horse with a very capable trainer. And probably part of me was sentimentally betting on John Sadler.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. And you're right. It, you know, we talk to John on a regular basis because he wins a lot of races, and he's been so gracious about it, and even yesterday and Saturday night, his comments, his response has been, the big story is the horse and what he accomplished this year. It's not me. It's not the John Sadler Breeders' Cup win story. That he's been phenomenal about it. A couple of notes, Chuck. What are your methods? What do you use? Some figure products. Talk about how you pick your horses generally.
I am a trip handicapper. I'm a replay guy. I sit in front of my computer Thursday night before the tournament. I sit in front of a computer screen, and I watched replays and watched Andy Serling's handicapping on every Breeders' Cup race. I think I know I'm not the best handicapper in the world, and I know Andy, right or wrong, is going to give you his honest opinion. And I respect that, and I listen to him. And on Thursday night, I got done at 2 o'clock with my Friday program. But I was so wired, I needed to just slow down. So I watched a couple Friday or a couple Saturday episodes. And the first one I watched was a classic. And everything he said about Gunavera is what I thought. And if I think it and he trumps it, then, hey, I had no problem keying Gunavera. No trouble. And I'll tell you what, in the Pegasus, I can see these two horses running 1-2 because of the fact that Gunavera's got a decent history on that track. So, I mean, I actually keyed him in the Pegasus last year. I did okay. I didn't win or place in the top 10, but I did okay by keying Gunavera in the Pegasus last year behind Arrogate. I think I keyed him second and third in the try, and it come chalk, chalk, and then Gunavera split up the inside and got third. So, you know, he's the most consistent horse that was in that race as far as showing up for the big races. He's done it 6 or 8 times, and he's probably going to do it again in January.
I love it. I love it. Chuck, how does this stack up? You know, I've had these conversations with several pro players, including Paul Matisse and others, and it's always enlightening for those of us that are more casual players or, you know, serious players that, you know, that can't do it as a living. But a lot of times these kinds of, you know, multi six figure scores aren't necessarily the best day you've ever had.
I've had a lot of good days, you know, in the horse business in general, racing horses. I've won big harness races before that's paid me a lot of money, and I've hit some pick sixes, and I've hit some other races. But this is probably by far the biggest one. I don't know exactly. I've hit something for 100. But it, you know what it does? Gives me confidence going to these other tournaments that now that I've always thought I had a shot of winning, now I know I can win. Because I'm not afraid to bet my money at the end. I'm not afraid to put it through the windows. If I got a strong opinion, I'm going to bet it. I'm going to bet, and I'm going to bet heavy. And I just thought, listening to even Bob Baffert's comments, Bob said it best. Bob said, if Accelerate shows up, we're all racing for second. So, and if that's, you know, I listened to his comments about it, and then I formed my own opinion, but I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I don't mind listening to guys like Andy Serling, Bob Baffert, John Sadler. I don't mind listening to their opinions because I respect them very much. And like I said, I'm going to get on a plane here in a couple of days, Steve, and I'm going to go out to Del Mar, and I'm going to put up my money, and there's going to be 50 or 100 other guys out there that's going to put up their money, and we're going to see who the best man is, and I wish them all the luck. And if I don't win, you know, whoever wins, I'll congratulate. But I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
That sounds it. I love it. Chuck, in terms of people contacting or being able to interact with you, I couldn't find a Twitter account unless you're kind of incognito on there.
I don't do Twitter. I don't know nothing about it. All I can tell you is I got six cousins I never knew I had that's called me to the loan in the last 24 hours.
I lived in Cincinnati, and you know, and I'm not a big harness guy at all, but I really know what it means to the Ohio community, and especially that, you know, that Scioto, Lebanon, the, you know, that middle part of the state, mid Ohio. It's such a big part of the culture, and I thought it was really kind of cool that, you know, somebody like you, I knew exactly what kind of a player and what kind of a horseman was involved here. I thought that was one of the best parts of the story.
Well, thank you very much. And I will tell you, I was born in Springfield, Ohio. I was raised in Grove City. And there was many a days I skipped school, and I'd be over there at Beulah Park for the Daily Double. It's, I grew up right in between Beulah Park and Scioto Downs, 6 miles each to each track, and I probably spent way too much time at those two facilities.
Well, you probably have had more than one or two celebratory meals at one of my favorite places, the Golden Lamb.
Oh, I just met my daughter there about a year ago, and Lebanon, Ohio. That's one of my favorite places in the whole world. That's a nice community, and that's where I got it. All my gambling and my racing got started, and that's a special place in my heart right there, what you're talking about.
I love it. Well, Chuck Grubbs, I'm completely delighted for you. I know that Pete Fornatel is going to get after you for a DRF article as well, and the all horse players salute you on a tremendous performance in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. Continued success.
Thank you for having me on, Steve. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and good luck.
I appreciate it, and we'll see you in Vegas, too, for the NHC. Chuck Grubbs, everybody, and a couple of harrowing moments, and, you know, kind of dwindling the bankroll a little bit late in the game, and, you know, put a couple bucks in the back pocket, walk away no matter what with $7,000, but instead parlays a couple of thoughts, particularly the strong opinion about Accelerate, and then a key price horse, sort of the what we've talked about so often around Breeders' Cup, the price key horses. And you heard it, you know, with his approach early and late, you know, taking a horse and putting them with all, and, you know, basically, you know, try keys. Nick Tamara, we talk about. This feels like, you know, the important lesson to take away. Have a main core opinion and then back it up with a horse that, you know, that is going to drive it. And this is why, you know, this is why when people, you know, say you don't always have to beat the favorite, you don't. And especially on this day where you can take the favorite and build around it. And that's what Chuck did, and he parlayed it into almost $500,000 score, 90,000 bankroll, and another 300,000 plus when it came to the prize. I haven't even seen the final dollars and cents number. I don't think there's been a, I don't know if there, I couldn't find a press release yesterday driving home. We're going to drive home with Costa Aronis, one of our favorite owners in the game, and we've talked to him many times after the variety of successes that he's enjoyed. He's going to join us next to talk about this latest accomplishment and potentially the horse of the year in Accelerate. Costa Aronis joins us after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, 15 minutes to fill out this first day of recapping of Breeders' Cup 2018. And we've talked to Costa Aronis many times. And this circumstance, after all the Grade 1 winners, and there's been many, there has not been a chance to talk to him after a Breeders' Cup win like this. The Breeders' Cup Classic, Accelerate, puts a exclamation point on a tremendous campaign for John Sadler and for Aronis Racing, Costa and his brother, and everybody, the whole family. Congratulations, Costa.
It's always great to talk to Steve Bick on Monday, but to talk to Steve on after a Breeders' Cup on Monday, that's quite a day.
I, you know, it was so satisfying, Costa, on so many levels. And it just so happens that Tina and I said, where should we watch? I said, let's go to the paddock. And I didn't know John was going to be there. I knew Baffert would be there because he always watches there. But there was John right in the middle. And I actually caught his eye before the race started, and being able to watch him in that moment was really wonderful.
Yeah, actually, John's reaction, probably more than anything, that was very gratifying for me, because I know what a hard worker he is and how much he loves horse racing and everything he's done for this sport. For him to, you know, get that on his resume, that for the Hronas family, that was great to be part of that.
Talk about the lead up to this, and that includes, of course, a solid win in the Awesome again, and then you show up to town, and here's the draw on Monday, and he draws the 14. So there's even an added burden. What was the whole feeling as the season was starting to culminate and arriving at Churchill?
I guess when you draw the 14 at that point, I guess, reading everything, because I read all the articles at night and stuff, I guess that even gave us, I think it gave Accelerate even a better, platform to make his case. I think that nothing fell his way. You're going to travel across the country. You're not just a California horse anymore. We're going to take you to Kentucky. We're going to put you in the 14. We're going to run you against 13 of the other best horses in the country, and we're going to see how you do. So that the 14 didn't really, after we drew it, I'm glad we weren't on the rail, but at the same time, 14 worked out, for him probably is okay. I think he likes clean air. I think he doesn't want to be in the gate too long anyway, as he showed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it all worked out for him. So, and like I said, maybe it gave him even more of a stamp on what he accomplished this season.
I wonder if you might have come away from Friday with an inkling, because I wrote about it in my Saturday piece, that if anything, Joel Rosario might have gotten a template for the trip when he won from wide with Game Winner. And it occurred to me when I was making my final thoughts about Saturday that, there's exactly the way Accelerate could approach the race and talk about Joel and then watching things unfold.
Yeah, the fun thing about Joel is he rode our Hronas Racing's very first horse back in March of 2010, a little claiming horse called Sleep Tight, and we had Joel Rosario. So for this all to come around to 2018, to bring the Breeders' Cup Classic with the favorite, with John Sadler, who, as you know, his relationship with Rosario, it seemed to think, I started to think all the puzzle pieces are falling into place, and if we're going to do this, what better time than with Joel Rosario in the saddle? But, yeah, Joel, it was great that we got him when we did for the Pacific Classic. Nothing but respect for what Victor Espinosa accomplished with him. Unfortunately, due to the injury, we had to make a change. We felt Joel was the guy to go to, no doubt. Accelerate's not an easy horse to ride. You got to ride him like a bike. You can't stop pedaling. So, but Joel knew him well, and they seemed to fit each other well. And, yeah, I saw the track. We were a plus 49 to Gunnavera. And so we were wide all the way around, and he still got the job done, even from the 14 post.
When you saw him kind of range up and start to enter the picture on the backstretch, you could see that he was going very comfortably.
Yeah, it seemed to be. I was asked earlier which horse we were concerned about in the race, and really the horse I was concerned about was Accelerate. I just felt if he came and was on his game, he's the best horse in the country at a mile and a quarter. So I really felt as long as he showed up and was in the mood to run, and yeah, when he made that move on the corner, the confidence started to really build up at that point.
when he struck the front, basically, at just off the turn and at the top of the stretch, I said earlier, Costa, that I knew my own main tickets and the horses that I necessarily keyed weren't going to be involved, and I could do nothing but root for you and John down the stretch. And when it was pretty much wrapped up past the 16th, I stopped looking at the screen at the paddock. I started just watching John, and he's been on with me. I mean, I know you listen to the show every day, and the respect for Sadler, the way everybody talks about him and the way he carries himself and the way he confronted this daily onslaught about his record, for him to be as gracious about it as he's been, it just tells you everything you need to know about him as a individual.
Yeah, and that's John. That's just who he is. And everybody talk about his record and so forth, and I thought he handled that very well. And again, at the same time, I think John was very proud of his record of horses that he had gotten to the Breeders' Cup, and maybe, even sometimes that he had to train up to get there. He wasn't a lot of fancy horses that he had in the barn to do that. And it's a tribute to him, his staff, to Juan Leyva, and Caesar and Renee, the foreman, just their work and what they're able to do with horses, and to get them even to that level. I mean, it's an honor just to be at the Breeders' Cup, just to get an invitation, just to earn the points or a win and you're in. Wow, it's an accomplishment just to get there.
Well, it's been an unbelievable year for him, and just the one loss at Oaklawn, and certainly the way City of Light has gone on, and with his seasonal enhancement, we'll talk tomorrow to Michael McCarthy, winning the Dirt Mile. That really doesn't hurt the resume at all. I don't know if I should ask you about the horse of the year debate that has already started to percolate. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a fascinating 6 weeks here of discussion.
Yeah, what an honor to just even be in the conversation. And, it was up to Accelerate. I mean, he had to, everybody had the same comment. If he wins the Classic, we can talk about it. Well, the nice thing is he answered the question on the racetrack where it should be answered. It made it easy. Now he's in the conversation. Now we can have the talk about it because he's done what he needed to do to get there. And the fact that he ran the Classic, which is our Super Bowl, our World Series, our championship, and against the older horses, and be able to travel and do what he did, and his record this year and the resume he built, we're very, of course, it's our horse, so we look through it at rose colored glasses, but we're really proud of our horse and his accomplishments, and we'll let Accelerate's race record and his accomplishments against who he did against. I mean, we gave away weight all year. We danced every dance. He ran the schedule. We avoided no one, or he avoided no one. Let me put that into perspective. This is all about Accelerate. What he accomplished. We're really proud of him. We're glad we left him on the racetrack for his fifth year. That was our focus.
True.
He was a healthy horse, happy to run. We just kept him on the track, which is what he was born to do, and tribute to him. And we're glad we could do that for Accelerate and for the industry, for horse racing, to leave a horse like that on the racetrack.
Talk about the origins, too. I know that David and Gordo picked them out, and a couple of the backstory portion of Accelerate coming into the Aronis Racing program.
Yeah, actually, that all came because we had Daddy DT, who was out of issues also, and when he won at Del Mar and qualified for the Breeders, the Juvenile Turf, of course, we're like, hey, we need to look at that issues colt that's at the September sale. So, of course, we did. We fell in love with him, and I think that's kind of got the ball rolling because we really love that mare. And, David and Gordo, without a doubt, everything he's done, he's built, him and John have built the stable together. They have formed it. Brother Pete and I and our family have all just tried to support them, you know, in any way we can and answer and try to be involved as much as they'd like us to be. But, yeah, it's a tribute to those guys that they did it all. They built the whole thing from 2010 to now.
Well, and, you know, I talk about you in terms of the participation in the game. I mean, you're happy to claim some, and you love every part of the game. And, you know, you're somebody that is, you know, has been just loyal and has been enthusiastic at every juncture. And it just feels like such a reward at you know, in looking at the way this, you know, this story concluded.
Yeah, this is just something that I'm glad it came along in the time of our lives that it did. But, you know, Brother Pete and I, we don't golf, we don't fish, we don't hunt. I mean, all we did was work up till then, and we found something in life that we really, truly love and enjoy, and we're so proud to be part of the industry and all the people that are in it. We've made some great friends, and like I said, to be on your show, I mean, this is what I used to listen to in the morning. To be part of it now, yeah, we're all thrilled. As a family, we're just really thrilled.
Well, the industry thrilled for you. It's one of those wins that everybody, I think, you know, feels good about. He's going to start to angle toward a stud career, and of course, a son of Looking at Lucky. And you mentioned Issues the Dam by Awesome again. He's really a classic. Obviously, a classic Colt. I mean, how many? I can't even. I suppose Curlin probably comes to mind. I mean, in terms of a horse that won, you know, at this trip, the classic distance, the mile and a quarter. He's going to prove very attractive as a stallion.
Yeah, and I guess that, you know, with the maturity, you know, he gained all that. And, yeah, I'm not sure a year ago if John felt he could be able to do that. I was really excited to have him try, because I even thought last year's Pacific Classic, he ran third, but behind two brilliant horses. So, I mean, we felt good. I really felt good going into this year and stretching him out. And he ran a good campaign. We kept him busy. And, yeah, it all worked out. And good for Accelerate and good for John Sadler and his team, no doubt.
Well, ends the season or ends this main part. He's still going to look about a start in the Pegasus, but it ends with a string of four Grade 1 wins. The Gold Cup at Santa Anita, the Pacific Classic, the Awesome Again, and now a Breeders' Cup Classic. And, you know, with all your other you know, strong performances, you know, that you think back to that beat that Stellar Wind took in the Distaff 3 years ago, right? Well, even the Accelerate, what was third last year, of course, in the Dirt Mile. You know, you've come close. You mentioned Daddy DT. He hit the board. You had that nice Ayatapa, that nice filly I always liked. She hit the board in the Distaff. It seems like when you get to this juncture, Costa, you guys have, you know, have been very close. So this is the perfect, really the perfect culmination of everything you've worked for.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. We really appreciate that. And, yeah, we feel very honored and blessed to have a horse like this, to be in the John Sadler barn and be with David and Gordo and the team that these guys have built and being part of Lane's End. You know, again, we're honored. We're so happy to be in the industry and be part of it. We hope we make, you know, we hope we suit this business, and they're proud of us also.
Without question. And Costa, again, heartiest congratulations, continued success, and we'll see you soon. We'll talk soon, without fail.
Let's do it. Honored to be here. Thank you.
Costa Aronis, the Aronis Racing Team, him and his brother Pete, and Sadler, and you saw, I don't know if you've seen the, I hope you've seen the video of Accelerate's groom Alex. In fact, Eric Hamelbeck sent it out last night as we were coming back, and I recirculated, and a lot of people seem to have not, you know, noticed it when it was first sent out by Breeders' Cup. But it's just wonderful as he cheers Accelerate home. We'll catch up with John Sadler, whose phone clearly he is not the first trainer in this kind of setting whose phone becomes inoperable. It's pretty funny when all the when all the messages and everything come in. So we'll catch John tomorrow. But it was great to get with Costa, and John Service was with us, Johnny D., Chuck Grubbs, who was a lot of fun. I've already gotten emails, people that enjoyed Chuck's story, winning the Breeders' Cup betting challenge, and Andy Beyer, too, this morning to give us kind of the overview coming out of the weekend. Lots of countless conversations yet to come tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday. Get to Brad Cox as well, and Bob Baffert and Mike McCarthy. Who else? Cassie, etc. Todd Pletcher, too, and Todd was going to join us about Cod Campbell, and we didn't get a chance to do that, so Todd as well. If you missed anything, replay tomorrow 6 to 9. And then we'll come at you live. Visit the website too. Casey will have the archive up soon. Day 2 of Breeders' Cup recapping when we talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.